Genesis 32 and 33, it said at the end of chapter 31 that Jacob has been forced really to leave Laban, and they've made this boundary at Galeed over which he cannot cross. So there is now no way back. He has only got to go forward. And sometimes God puts these things in our lives because he wants us to face up to issues. And in Jacob's issue was really facing Esau. He had treated him badly. When Esau was starving, hungry, he twisted him to give him his birthright, and then he lied to Isaac when Isaac was old and blind to get the blessing that was meant to be for Esau. And he hadn't faced up to that. He'd run away from it. And he's now being forced to a position where he cannot go back, and he can only go forward. And so he has now got to meet with Esau. And, of course, it makes him realize that all this argument about the blessing and getting wealthy and all that was absolutely meaningless, because in the end, he had to be taught that the only blessing that was worth having was the blessing of Abraham, which was not the same as the blessing that Isaac had given him. You remember, Isaac gives him the blessing that he intended for Esau, and then Esau tries to kill Jacob, and Isaac and Rebekah send Jacob away. But when they send him away, at the beginning of Genesis 28, it's specifically stated that Isaac said to him, "May the blessing of Abraham be with you." So then, there's this difference between the blessing of secular wealth and being lord over your brothers, having all the glory of this life, and the blessing of Abraham. Now, the blessing that was promised to Abraham was indeed eternal inheritance of the earth with the resurrection of the body that implies. But far more than that, he was also promised, "And I will be your God." And when it comes to the New Testament, that blessing is specifically interpreted for us. In Acts 3, Peter quotes it and says that God fulfilled the idea of blessing for Abraham's seed through sending his son Jesus to bless us in turning away each of us from our iniquities. So the blessing is the blessing of forgiveness and the gift of the Spirit to lead us away from sin, which is what we need as much or even more than we need forgiveness. So this is the blessing of relationship with God. And it's in that sense that Abraham's seed can be a blessing to the Gentile world, in that we can bring that to other people through spreading the gospel to them, the good news of the new covenant that was based on those promises made to Abraham. So he has to be prepared then for this meeting with his brother. And let's just jump forward a little bit to what he actually says in chapter 33 when he finally meets with Esau after having wrestled with the angel. Verse 11, "Take, I beg you," and it's the same word translated "take away." "Take away, I beg you, my blessing, because God has dealt graciously with me and because I have all things." So now he's getting there. This man who had earlier said to God, "If Yahweh will really be with me and bring me back to my father's house in peace, then Yahweh will be my God, and then I will give him a tenth, a tithe," which is what you gave a king. "Then he will be my king." Well, now he is saying, "Look, Esau, take away my blessing, the blessing that me and my mother and you and our father were so desperately concerned about, all the angst that there was about that. Look, you have it. Take it away. I don't want it. Because God has dealt graciously with me," this is after the wrestling with the angel, "and because I have all things." The all things that were now, he realized, so important were having seen God's face and lived in that he wrestled with the angel, having received God's grace. "God has dealt graciously with me and I have all things." And that is the position that you and I can be in, that God has been gracious to us. that we behold his glory in the face of Jesus Christ, as Paul says, and we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. And even if we are left limping as Jacob was, as a reminder that you cannot do it in your own strength, all the same, that is the true blessing that is promised to Abraham. And the contrast is between that and all the secular blessing which he so wanted to get from Isaac. And we are caught up with the same sort of conundrum between wanting to be materially blessed in this life and having the blessing of God. It is where the prosperity gospel has gone so terribly wrong, to equate the two, to say that the blessing of God means getting material blessings in this life. Not at all. These are two different things, and you see it here with Jacob. He had to choose between the two, and he had, of course, wanted the material stuff. And now he says to Esau, take it away. Take away my blessing. I don't want it. It's the same words as when Esau complains bitterly that Jacob has taken away my birthright and taken away my blessing. Yeah. Now Jacob says, yeah, take it away. I don't want it anymore. And this, I think, is where we come to. If you really know God and know his Son, and you've really got the hope before you of life eternal and forgiveness of sin, and you know that you've been forgiven and that you've experienced God's grace, then what is all this angst in this world to get materially wealthy, to get power and glory? Because we have all things. Well, he says just before that in 33 verse 10, he says to Esau, I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. He's saying that, he's alluding to the angel he's just wrestled with. It says in chapter 32, verse 30, that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So, putting that together with chapter 33, verse 10, he says, I have seen your face as though I saw the face of God, and you accepted me. I think that as he wrestled with the angel, he saw in that angel's face flashes of the face of Esau. And he realized that just as he had wrestled in the womb with Esau, so he had done all his life. And by wrestling with your brother, you're fighting and wrestling against God. And the way that Esau very strangely is gracious to him, and he had no reason to be gracious to him, and he comes out with 400 men to meet him, and the word 100 there could mean like a squadron, so it could have been more than 400, it could have been four squadrons of men. But the intention quite clearly was to attack Jacob. That was the intention. But suddenly he changes. Suddenly he changes, just like Laban does. He suddenly changes. He comes out chasing Jacob, intending, I'm pretty sure, to kill him and grab back all the flocks and the family and his kids and grandkids. And as he said, God appeared to me last night, and I didn't. So all the time, Jacob is being taught grace. Not in response, none of this was in response to some great movement from him closer to God, but God poured out his grace, took the initiative in this, so that Jacob would respond. So God is not saying, well, look, I'm here for you if you clear certain barriers. He's far more proactive than that. He was reaching out into the life of Jacob, and that's just what he does with us. He takes that initiative, and we reflect that by taking the initiative and reaching out to people with the gospel. And so the wrestling with the angel was really, I think, reflective of how he had wrestled with Laban, with Esau, and even with his own father. And he's being brought to see that all those interpersonal conflicts were really a striving with God. So don't wrestle with people in your mind. I mean, Jacob hadn't seen Esau for a long time. But I think the idea was that he had wrestled with him in his mind to get that birthright and that blessing. So if you've got wrestlings in your mind with people, and I reckon everybody has, then drop it, because it is a form of wrestling with God. And in those people, even if they are unbelievers, even if they're in the wrong, right, Esau was an unbeliever, really. He says, Jacob says to him, I saw your face, as if I saw the face of God. Your attitude to those people is really your attitude to God. And surrender, capitulate. This is what Jacob had to realize. It's as if he fights the angel to a draw, where the angel cannot overcome him and he can't overcome the angel. And then the angel just touches his thigh, and his thigh is out of joint and he's lost, and he's got a limp for the rest of his life. You might appear to be holding your own, although you will never win, in any conflict, in any war, there's only losers. And you might appear to hold your own in a conflict, but God can just touch your thigh and let it happen. Walk away from it, because that is going to be the end result of it. And so, through all this, Jacob then comes to reconcile with Esau, although, you know, the way the story finishes, where Esau says, oh, you know, do come back with me, and Esau and Jacob says, well, I can't go so quickly, I'm afraid. There's a lot of young children and newborn animals, got to go very slowly. So Esau goes ahead of him and Jacob just dives off somewhere else. You know, the curtain goes down with Jacob still having that characteristic of deceit and dishonesty to him in his relationship with Esau. And yet, despite all that imperfection, he does finally come to be God's man.